messages on screen, the written audio of the collaboration becomes available. This station will now see the
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast. Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast, the only place for prepping, survival, and entertainment. We are your hosts, Cam and Kobe, and we're ready to bring survival goodness direct to your ear holes.
We're going to scare the crap
and
out of you.
And this is the
Twilight
Halloween special.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome. The second annual Halloween special, Casual Preppers Podcast, number two. Let them know, let the people know what's happening, what's going on.
Well, today we're going to talk to you about alien invasions. So if you've been abducted before, this is all familiar.
Yeah, this is all just kind of a rerun for you.
So you're going to get a little PTSD on this episode. Yeah. But yeah, we want to tell you guys about aliens and mm-hmm. how scary they are and how to protect yourself from them mm-hmm. and even the medical tip.
Oh,
it's going to include how to take care of
really
invasions.
I'm really excited about it. Seriously.
And then we've got some good reviews. Yeah. We got Vessel. We got Survival Vessel. Boxes. We got GoTana.
We got a brand new podcast sponsor, y'all.
Hey,
okay.
Y'all.
So, guys, first, though, today's podcast is brought to you, as always, by TacPack, the only monthly tactical subscription box with useful professional-grade stuff inside. Get 10% off your first TacPack with code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com. And join the thousands of satisfied subscribers today. That's 10% off with code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com.
I thought we had a new one to review, but I guess we did that.
I believe we did. I think so. Yeah, we did.
We did. That's
we
right.
We did last time.
I do remember now. Sorry.
Hey. Don't.
They're just so good. I won't talk about them all
I know,
time.
We really do. So go check out our fantastic sponsors, as always, because they keep this going.
Listener, reviews starts now.
I'm going to let you take it, bro.
I don't have it pulled up.
You
so.
Don't. He doesn't have it pulled up. Well, I guess I'll take it.
I got it.
Oh, we got it. Okay.
Okay.
Good.
So this reviewer's name is Canada Man _ eh.
Yeah.
All right, Candyman _ eh.
Yeah.
So, he says, 5-star, buckle your seatbelts, boys and girls, because Cam and Kobe are about to get you learned. This excellent podcast, why is this so small, helps us get through the dark, frozen winter in the north and pairs well with seal clubbing and riding. These guys guide you through the tough stuff and hook hands to water skills. You'll be sucking your neighbor's sprinklers dry in no time. This ain't no doomsday preppers horse hockey. This is the real deal.
My goodness, that was fantastic.
That was. He like wrote a new intro for
us. He has dialed in on what we got going on.
Like a brand new intro.
Yeah, so if you guys want to be part of this, head to iTunes, head to Facebook, head to the Kindle book on Amazon. Leave us a 5-star review and make it freaking awesome.
Social media shout out.
We want to say hello and shout out to Jesse Wallace on Facebook. Always commenting, liking.
Sup, Jesse.
Wallace. So I appreciate you. If you want to be part of this, come hang out with us on social media.
Cool.
It's a mad world.
So, Cameron, I just wanted to read you a little bit of a report that I read, a little article I read today.
Do it.
You all right with that?
I'm going to do the same.
So what it said is the U.S. Air Force is readying its nuclear bombers for 24-hour alert status, according to a Defense One report.
What the hell's going on?
How's that make you feel?
Pretty good.
This is yet one more step in ensuring that we're prepared. We all like being prepared. I mean, we do. Air Force Chief of Staff General David Goldfein told, or it might be Goldfein, I don't know.
Sounds good.
Told the news outlet in an interview, I look at it more as not planning for any specific event, but more for the reality of the global situation we find ourselves in and how we ensure we're prepared going forward. The Air Force has yet to receive the order, according to Defense One, but if it does, it would be the first time B-52 bombers equipped with nuclear weapons are moved to the end of base runways since the end of the Cold War.
That is freaking terrifying.
Welcome to reality.
We're all pretty much dead soon.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah,
I
sure.
feel really comfortable.
Make you feel good?
Yeah, I feel really good about
that.
Mm-hmm. So mine is about Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
So looking, the reason I wanted to bring them up again, not to make it hurt for the Puerto Ricans.
It's like beating a dead horse, man. Come on.
But like the articles I've been reading of just how fast things just, you know. So for one, you survive the hurricane and the wind, you know, 100 plus mile an hour wind.
Yeah, high five. Stuff well done.
falling on you.
Yeah.
That's the smallest. I mean, that's the easiest part to get through.
Yeah.
The rest has just been a nightmare, you know. So just simple stuff. Power outage. Boom. And you've got no running water.
Mm-hmm.
No cell phone towers. You don't have ways to communicate. You can't get, you know, people in to help you.
Yeah.
The medical facilities are running on generators that need fuel. There's no fuel pumps. I mean, just everything is a nightmare for them. And it's horrible for them, you know. And,
yeah.
And just something as simple as nature. I mean, yeah. We always talk about the worst of the worst. And that was a hurricane, which is horrible. But
yeah, just devastated.
It's
that
the aftermath,
island.
Man. Yeah. The aftermath is just a nightmare.
Yeah. And then trying to keep disease and all that stuff down with, you know, horrible sanitation, with no running water. That just,
right,
you know.
And if your house that you had all your stuff stored in didn't get destroyed to begin with,
yeah,
then, you know, you maybe could make it a little longer.
Maybe.
But still, yeah. It's just freaky that stuff can happen.
So, not good.
Not at all.
No.
So, anyway.
Okay, well, the world is mad.
It is mad right now.
So, Cameron, I'm excited. This is going to be fun.
It's going to be
terrifying. The Halloween special it's always fun. Last year, we had a good time. We talked about zombies.
I hope people are interested because this could save so many people.
You know, guys, this is just for fun, okay? we obviously don't take ourselves too serious on this podcast, so just chill. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just listen and enjoy yourself. We're not trying to have good
stuff. We really do.
Yeah, it's a good time.
This is going to be super
good. Like we said, last year was zombies. That was really fun. A lot of people actually wanted us to do zombies again.
Zombies is awesome.
Oh, it's really fun. But I feel like we needed to move on.
Yeah.
I think we needed to you know, hit another subject so everybody can be a little more informed in a wider array of topics. Right?
This topic is quite funny.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's
one
fantastic.
Of the best, you know.
but first, we have to start with sort of the history of zombies, right? Like, or not zombies.
We're not talking about zombies.
We did talk about that last year. What was the thing last year? Do you remember the... Oh, man, there was something really funny in that episode. I can't remember what it was now. It was really funny, though. So... history of aliens, UFOs, UFO sightings. So the first one that I could find record of, 329 BC.
Are you kidding me?
No, I kid you not. Alexander the Great records two great flying shields.
I'm all right.
Oh, that one got me choked up. So that was a long time ago, obviously. So
maybe Alexander the Great was an alien.
He could have been. He could have been, you know.
All that.
So, but, you know, the big craze, the big alien, you know, UFO sighting craze really didn't start until 1947. That was where, like, a lot of it, you know, came from. So Kenneth Arnold was kind of the first dude that was like, alien stuff, you know? So he was flying his small aircraft near Washington's Mount Rainier, June 24th, 1947, and he claimed to have seen 9 blue glowing objects flying fast, an estimated 1,700 miles an hour in a V formation.
That's it? How do you estimate that?
I estimate it was about 1,800 mile an hour. I don't know. You know? I can
see. Whoa, that's, man, if I'm going 110, that's got to be a good 10,000. That's about 100,000 more than me.
I know. It's like, how does he know 1,700 miles an hour? By the looks of them blue lights, about 100 miles away, it looked like about 1,700 miles an hour or so.
Just imagine him telling the story. I was flying real fast and then blew right over top of me. Probably good. I don't know, 1,700 mile an hour or something.
I just crop dusting and stuff, and then here come these blue lights and this friggin' hauling ass down the mountain. I don't know what's going on. 1,700 mile an hour, about.
About. Give or take,
you know, 1,900, 1,900, I don't know. 6 or 8.
Some of these stories, man, I was dying reading
so
them.
In that same year, it was the whole Roswell thing that happened, right? In the summer of 47, rancher William Mac Brazel, I don't know how to say his name, discovered mysterious debris in one of his New Mexico pastures, including metallic rods, chunks of plastic, and unusual papery scraps.
These papers look weird. They're not normal paper.
These freaking aliens are littering on my property.
Gosh damn it. Pack it in, pack it out, bastards.
You know? This is Arizona. You don't litter in Arizona.
It is Nevada, but...
Oh, Nevada.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Wait, which one?
Roswell.
Roswell, New Mexico.
New Mexico.
We're both retarded.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man. Anyway.
That was a good one. Let's start this podcast
Let's
over.
Let's make fun of this guy when we got geographic retardation.
Yeah. So when he reported the wreckage, soldiers from Roswell Army Air Force Base were called in to retrieve the materials, right? So the officials reported that it was only a downed weather balloon. So ever since, the conspiracy theorists have been hard at work trying to prove the wreckage was extraterrestrial. With one gentleman, Ray Santilli, going as far as releasing a video of 95 of the alien dissection. Do you remember that? That was a huge, big deal.
Yeah.
But he said it was fake. But he said it was based on real footage.
I know.
No, okay. All right, I'm going to die here, so let's just tell you. That wasn't real, but it was based on a true story.
It's like all the Hollywood films yeah. based on true events. Mm-hmm. Not even close to what happened.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever that means.
Yeah.
So they think Area 51 comes from that as well. That's where people believe they studied the alien craft. Yeah. That's, you know, they took a craft there, and that's where they studied. That's where Area 51.
So, I remember skating in Roswell. And
Tony Hawk. Yeah, I remember.
That was the craziest.
Yeah. So another one was called the Lubbock Lights. So on the evening of August 25th, 1951, three science professors from Texas Tech were enjoying an evening outdoors in Lubbock when they looked up and saw a semicircle of lights flying above them at high speed, probably about 1,700 miles an hour.
Give or take.
Over the next few days, dozens of reports flooded in from across town. Texas Tech freshman Carl Hart Jr. Even snapped photos of the phenomenon, which were published in newspapers across the country and Life magazine. So that was a real deal, man.
Wow, Life. Good job.
Yeah, good job. There's another one in Leveland. If you ever seen the Close Encounters of the Third Kind, there's a famous scene where the UFO makes all the electronics and the car go funky. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
In that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as it so happens, that's not just Hollywood invention for the silver screen. There's real life precedents.
They made stuff go crazy.
Yeah. So in 57, dozens of citizens, dozens of Leveland, Texas, individually reported seeing a rocket or strange lights that interfered with their vehicles. Engines died, lights cut out. Police initially thought the reports were a hoax, but they too saw the mysterious lights. So the police saw them.
So you got to believe the police.
They don't lie. So that one was another crazy one.
I love how a lot of these stories was like, well, the police saw it, so.
Yeah, the sheriff done seen it. It's got to be real.
The deputy sheriff saw it.
He got out of his little speeding gun and said they were going by 1,700 mile an hour. So there's another one in Tehran in 76.
Tehran, where's that?
Iran. September 19th, 1976, to be exact. This incident started out much like many others, with a phone call from concerned citizens reporting a bright light in the sky. But an F-4 fighter jet was sent out to investigate. But as it got close, the instruments blacked out, forcing the pilot to return to base.
What the freak?
Yeah, he was freaked out, dude. So a second F-4 took its place. What I want to do, we'll just send out another one. And as it neared the unusual light, it achieved radar lock. So I was like, he got locked on, right?
Iron Eagle,
yeah. Yeah. But then, according to the pilot, the UFO released a glowing object. The pilot assumed it to be some sort of missile headed straight for him. As he prepared to fight back, the pilot experienced malfunctions with his instruments and witnessed another bright object released from the UFO that headed straight toward the ground.
What the?
He safely returned to base despite faulty equipment.
What?
Yeah. So
they're out there.
Yeah.
They are out there mm-hmm. to get us.
They're out to get us.
Well, let's talk about what risks they impose upon us.
See,
human race.
This is where it starts getting scary.
This does get scary.
This is a real deal.
So obviously, the most common thing that you hear about are abductions.
Mm. Mm.
There's many stories, really good ones.
There are some
you should
really
read some
good
of
ones.
Them. So, you know, first of all, with those abductions, is usually there's some kind of probing, typically anal probing or
yes.
some kind of probing going on, and they're trying to study the human body.
I wonder who was the first. Like, who was the first guy who said, I got abducted, they stuck something in my ass? Like, that was his story. That's what he decided to come up with.
Hey, Jim, he's got a good story here.
You gotta listen to this.
Get this guy a drink, he's been abducted.
They're not gonna listen to me unless I make this good.
I know.
Let's start with something up my ass.
I ain't listening to what you say.
Well, you said ass. What?
You got something shoved in your pooper?
He poked it. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we all these abduction stories are usually, you know, they got studied.
Yeah.
They're kind of brainwashed. They don't know exactly what happened. So obviously, you know, these are some bad things because
they're not good.
You know, you may have some anal leakage, some torn anus, some, you know.
Yeah.
They're not going to be gentle. They're just studying you.
Yeah, I mean, they have no reason to be gentle.
No, they don't.
No.
They don't.
I mean, they might not even lube it up.
You're probably not going to get sedated.
They're going to dry dog that stuff, man. There's no lube. I don't know what that was.
Human mud's disgusting.
I don't know what that was, sorry.
A fart bubble. You broke into it.
Whoa, hit a gas bubble. That's what the alien sounds like. Whoa, hit a gas bubble.
They talk like red.
Whoa, Mel Napa, we just hit a gas bubble.
These humans are gross.
Disgusting creatures.
Obviously, psychological trauma.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people with PTSD about their abduction. So,
yeah.
Horrible. You do not want to go through the life.
So, avoid abductions
as an alien
at all cost.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Right. Mm. So, another thing, typically they have weapons. So,
yeah.
A common one's lasers, you know.
That's a very common alien
you
weapon.
Usually see either a ray gun or...
What's the difference between a ray gun and a laser gun?
Well, a laser gun, you know, is really powerful light emission.
Yes, okay.
So that a ray gun's pretty much the same, I guess. It's kind of a power.
I was going to say, what's the difference?
Maybe I don't know the specifics on.
Okay.
I haven't studied them. Go down to freaking Roswell.
Okay.
Learn more about it.
Roswell, Arizona?
I think it's Idaho.
Yeah, I think it's Idaho.
You know, they usually use these weapons, and a lot of people either, you know, get shot, burns right through them.
Or they, like, poof
or vaporized.
Yeah, they get vaporized.
And that's usually, I mean, the aliens, they don't know how much power to use. So
they don't know their own strength.
They just vaporize humans. They're like, oh, dang.
Oh, shit. That was way too much. Next time, let's take it down.
Let's get out of here. Turn on your blue lights. Let's go about 1,700 across this. Let's crank it up and get out of here about 1,700 miles.
Let's show these humans what the hell we can do. Open her up, son.
Yeah, so lasers, ray guns, apparently the same thing.
Apparently.
So the ray gun, I just want to tell you a little bit about a story. So apparently some kids in Russia, they encountered... So we don't know how big aliens are going to be.
We don't.
But
usually they're small.
But these kids, they... estimated this alien that appeared about 9 foot tall.
Whoa.
And he had a ray gun. Have you heard the story?
I have not heard the story,
no. So this is true. This is real recorded.
This is
event.
True. 100% true, guys.
This is the internet. Isn't
the Russians true? Said it was
so
true.
So these kids in Russia, which who wouldn't believe Russian children?
At the end of the Cold War in 89.
Right. It was. It was in 1989. So... they saw this 9 foot tall alien, and apparently he had a ray gun. Mm. And
maybe they were saying Reagan. This guy was really tall, like a ray gun.
Oh, we had a ray gun? That's freaking awesome. So, anyway, apparently these kids are playing. The alien pulls out a ray gun. A Reagan.
It's all fun and games till someone pulls out a ray gun.
Yep. And then apparently the name of the kid was Dimitri. I'm not making this up. He was disintegrated. Yeah.
Holy shit. Dimitri gone.
So the ray gun, you know, is like a laser gun. Super powerful. Mm. Disintegrated this kid.
Oh, it's unfortunate.
Although, when the alien left, Dimitri reappeared.
Oh.
So he got disintegrated. I don't know if he was teleported.
Maybe that's what it was.
And then... when the aliens left, he just Dimitri reappeared.
Reagan
deported. So the ray guns don't always kill. They may just teleport you onto spacecraft.
So could you don't know what's going to happen.
No,
don't initially think it's always going to be your vaporized.
Right.
Might not be.
You could be teleported to somewhere safer to get anal probed.
Ooh.
Other things, you know, gravity beams, like tractor beams.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You've seen them lift cars. You know,
if we've all seen them,
we haven't seen them, but apparently it's really happened.
Yeah.
So you know, they can lift up vehicles, transport them, teleport them.
Mm.
So gravity guns and tractor beams are always terrifying.
Absolutely.
Mind control. So,
see, this is where it gets scary.
Right. So
if you weren't scared yet.
A lot of alien, you know, movies and stuff portray these aliens that they just look at you and it's like, and they control your mind and you're like, you can't get them out.
No.
There's nothing to protect you against
them. Can't get them out.
They'll pull up all your deep, dark secrets. You know, they can go and take the president's mind and it won't change anything.
No, it won't.
But yeah, so, you know, mind control, reading your thoughts, terrifying. Mm. Sheer force. So this happened in 1954 in Venezuela. Two men were jumped by aliens. That's how they put it. So they were jumped. One guy, he drew a knife and tried to thrust it at the alien, and it bounced right off. Apparently, the alien's skin was like...
See, but what I like about the story is he had his EDC.
He did.
Yeah.
He was prepared.
That's awesome, yeah.
So he lunged at this alien, and he said the body was like steel. It just bounced off.
I tried to push this knife into this alien, and it just like come right off like that.
He broke my blade, man.
I just want to talk on that. I feel bad about this whole situation.
Who are playing in the World Cup, man? So,
yeah, like Mexican Venezuelans.
That was so. And then the other guy, apparently the alien picked him up and threw him 15 feet in the air.
Picked him up?
Picked him up.
You still acting.
Did I still do it?
It sounded like you went, picked him up.
So aliens, you know, extreme, you know, they may come from a planet like Superman.
Yeah.
Lots of gravity and they're not used to. So. They just picked this Venezuelan up and threw him 15 feet.
My gosh.
Anyways, this was confirmed by a Venezuelan police officer as well.
So yeah,
they told him the story, and apparently he believed it as well. So anyway, the aliens can just jump you. You don't, they don't even need to use all their high-tech stuff.
Yeah, they don't need a ray gun.
So the other thing is, you know, we're not talking about just aliens from one planet. They come from many, and I think many have visited
So you think the aliens that have been here, you don't think they've all been from like...
I don't think so.
Oh.
Apparently, a lot of other people don't. Because here's another one. 1970, some kids in Malaysia in the jungle, they saw a small space shuttle that landed, and it was no bigger than 3 feet wide.
Mm.
It's pretty small.
Yeah.
Okay? And five little men jumped out, and they were 3 inches tall.
Oh, my gosh.
3-inch tall aliens.
Wow.
So maybe from a tiny planet.
Yeah.
Anyway, they said they reported that they were humanoid looking.
Yeah.
Three of them were yellow, and they're, wait, no, four were blue, and one was yellow with a spiky helmet.
Oh, man.
So they had a leader with them.
Huh.
And they tried to catch one, but were shot with a ray gun, and it inflicted a wound on one of the kids' thighs.
Ooh.
So even though those guns are teeny tiny, they still like burn
still
this
hurt.
Kid's leg.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's just
so what happened? I need the rest of the story.
That was it.
They just got back in.
Got away.
They just got back in.
And the kids told some adults that thought it was
the Malaysian PD.
Yeah. And I'm sure a police officer confirmed their story.
I have corroborated this story with the Malaysian police.
Right. Mm. So there's just so much we don't know about aliens.
It's true.
There's ray guns, there's, you know, there's tractor beams.
Yes.
There's sheer force, shields, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, Predator was an alien.
Yeah.
And, you know, he shot, like, a nasty laser.
Absolutely.
So, anyway.
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, there's just, you don't know what's going to happen. There's, it's hard to plan and prep for one scenario.
And they may not even be hostile, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. They might not. As Hollywood has shown us, they're not always hostile. Sometimes we're the hostile ones.
Right.
And so we kind of have to be careful.
Right.
So speaking of Hollywood, we thought it would be a good idea to kind of go through some of the most famous or some of the alien movies that we've enjoyed and kind of just gather what we learned from them and what we can take into our everyday preps and our everyday preparations for an alien invasion.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that's a good time
a little
to start
more
that.
Customized. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So the first one I always think of. And it's the classic, the H.G. Wells story, War of the Worlds, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was back in, when did Tom Cruise do that one? I don't remember what year it was. It was
the original, or are you talking about the
new one? No, I'm talking about the new one, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was in the 2000s.
It was in, like, 2004
or yeah, something like that. So we all remember the movie, you know, the aliens come, they were down in the ground all along.
Yeah.
We didn't know about it, and that's something we need to think about.
They may own this planet.
They might already be here being like, idiots. Yeah. Like, these guys are suckers. They're building up civilization. Exactly. So what I took from that movie, what I gathered from it was, okay.
They're under the gosh dang ground.
Yeah, they're yeah, but how did they defeat him in that movie? That's the thing. Do you remember?
They defeated themselves.
They defeated themselves because they
weren't accustomed.
They weren't accustomed to all our nasty, disgusting. Yeah,
they didn't.
They died from the common cold, basically.
So cool.
So yeah. So what you can glean from that is maybe you need to hide out in a hospital or something if aliens come, because they might not want to go there because they might think disease, disgustingness.
Right.
And you're fine.
There's all kinds of weird bacteria in the hospitals.
Exactly. Yeah.
Super hard to treat ones.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Yeah. What's the next movie? Smart. Next movie.
Oh, you want me to pull it up? Sorry, my phone died.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it didn't die. It shut off.
Okay.
Next one, Signs. One of the best movies of all time.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of people, we love this movie, and I don't care what anyone says.
We do.
We know it's cheesy and stupid. But it is fantastic.
It's such a good watch.
It is so fantastic.
So this one, we talked about like aliens reading your minds.
Yes.
So they could do that, which is pretty scary.
Yeah.
And then how are they defeated? Super simple.
Water.
That's it.
All it took was water. The little bratty girl in the movie didn't like to clean up her water.
No. She just left her water everywhere.
Everywhere. But in the end, that's what saved the little boy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Think about it. I mean, it could just
there
be
could
some
be
normal.
Just simple. Maybe they don't like dirt.
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
Just dirt.
Yeah, don't like
them.
Dirt. Maybe oxygen is bad for them.
Yeah.
They won't last
long.
Yeah,
we breathe mostly nitrogen. So maybe that'll just fry them in their lungs.
Exactly. Okay. The other thing I learned from that movie was everyday objects and items can be used to help in some sort of an alien invasion, because they used baby monitors to intercept the alien signals.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I did.
So I think that's something we should be thinking about.
Right. The other thing on that movie is, having your meds ready. You gotta, you can't just have them all in one place because you may not be able to access that
spot. The boy had asthma, right? Isn't that what he had?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had asthma.
So albuterol for that person should be part of his EDC kit.
Yeah, he should have that on him at all times.
Or at least an EpiPen or something,
Because the EpiPen, they ended up having to use an EpiPen at the end, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's all good things that we've learned from that movie. The next movie is Predator. I haven't seen this movie in forever. You're more well-versed with this movie, I think. So what do you want to take from that?
You need big guns. And
yeah,
you do. You really need to protect yourself by camouflage.
Mm-hmm.
So Predator didn't even have normal eyeballs.
No.
But come to find out in the second one, he could switch between like heat signatures and stuff.
Right.
They butchered the second one and ruined it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Arnold, he covers himself in mud, cloaks himself.
He does.
But the other thing is you really need to have like some really bad A weapons.
Yeah.
You really mini
do.
Gun and you need like a Bowie knife, big freaking huge commando knife.
Yeah, you need to.
And you need to have like you need to be really cut.
Yeah. Yeah, lifting weights is probably a good idea.
Yeah, he was
steroids might not be bad. I don't know.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here.
I'm just gonna say
hit some steroids.
So I wrote Alien down on there. I don't really know exactly what we can take from that movie.
They could spit on you and burn you.
Yeah, they could,
acid spit. I mean, maybe their blood is toxic to us.
Yeah, that's true. You gotta be careful.
You want to kill them at a range.
Yeah, ranged weapons. That's probably a good idea.
So if your knife bounces off, you probably don't want to get that blood on you if you happen to kill them with a gun. You
exactly.
Do it from...
So ranged weapons.
Ranged weapons.
I think that's what we learned from that.
Yeah.
10 Cloverfield Lane. This was a fantastic movie that I really enjoyed. I think what we learned from that is everybody should have a bunker.
Right.
I mean, really. I mean, when it comes down to it, I think everyone has to have one. I don't care if you live in a townhouse or what, but you need to dig underneath that townhouse and build a bunker.
Right.
Right?
And I mean, what aliens are going to... I mean, unless they abducted somebody and got that information from them that we have bunkers.
Yeah, that's
right. They may not even know.
Well,
they may think we just live in houses.
Yeah, and it could come down to mind control, though, and reading your mind, they might figure out, like,
For other
exactly,
people.
Exactly,
yeah. That's true.
So you don't know. But I think it's good to have the option. So
right.
Go ahead and spend the money and do it.
Yeah.
You know?
And that bunker was sweet because it had, like, a airtight. You had like a two chamber,
had
you
an
know,
airlock
to get in.
Yeah, very cool.
Way cool.
10 Cloverfield Lane.
I need to watch that this holiday season.
Yeah, it's fantastic, wasn't it? The next one is Independence Day. Really, really, probably the most one of the most famous alien movies out there. Right?
It was a big one.
It was a big one. But what I learned from this is basically you need to fly whatever you can up the butthole of the alien mothership.
That is exactly what I learned from that movie.
I don't know what else to learn from it other than, you know,
remember me. I'm back. Like the worst line ever.
Yeah, that was good, man. Good stuff.
I think he actually, he almost got like brainwashed from that movie.
He went nuts, didn't he?
Maybe he really thought that there were aliens. Yeah. Maybe there really are.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There probably are. It's just, that's kind of like a documentary
of
sorts.
So Men in Black kind of took a spin on aliens, which is kind of fun.
Yeah,
did. You know, made fun of them a little bit, which I'm sure pissed them off.
Oh, yeah.
But like it showed like the different areas, different parts of space. These aliens, you know, they all kind of get together in this, you know, transportation hub, like a bus station. And, and I mean, that just kind of taught us that there's probably a group of guys that know everything about aliens and keep us away from that scary knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, there's a group of people within the government that have all this knowledge and that are every day just trying to make sure that we aren't, you know, meddling in that field. I mean, we're not, you know, getting mixed up with aliens and, you know, we're not
keeping the masses calm.
Yeah, because if we do, like you said, man, people will go nuts.
Yeah.
You know, and the other
that
thing.
That show showed a lot of different weapons.
It did.
Different, you know, species. So.
Yeah. That's the thing. We don't know what types of weapons these alien species might have. You know what I mean? There's so many different kinds. But what it also taught us is that, you know, everyday people that we think are just humans could actually be aliens.
True.
You know what I mean? Because they were actually disguised in that movie.
Right.
One of them was a dog. Remember that? One of them, there's just a bunch of weird people, but they were aliens. They were all aliens. So, you know, you got to be nice to people. That's kind of what I take from that.
And maybe we live in a marble.
We could live in a marble. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But I'm just saying you should be nice to people because they could be an alien.
It's true.
You know, you don't want to piss aliens off.
No, you don't.
No. Next one is Super 8. Have you seen Super 8?
Amazingly
movie?
Filmed.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
It was beautiful,
done.
But I thought the movie was kind of weak.
It was a little weak, but it was kind of a cool concept.
I liked how they did it.
The way it was done.
And I liked how it was filmed. But
what I wrote
good
down.
Good soundtrack, too.
Yeah, it was a good soundtrack. What I wrote down on that is kids usually find aliens. It kind of seems like kids, a lot of times, are the ones that find them.
I mean, I know.
Look at that story we talked about.
I don't know
about.
If aliens are just less scared by, by kids or maybe, you know. It's
funny,
they're
less
intimidating. They don't really ever abduct kids, though.
Well, have you seen Flight of the Navigator?
That's true. I forgot about that.
I'm just saying. Two of the
remember
stories.
He goes probably like 1,700 miles an hour
he does.
Over the
yeah,
ocean.
Yeah, I do have that on there. So
that's a good
we'll talk
one.
About it. Yeah, yeah. So I just kind of wrote, you know, kids are nosy pricks. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, they're going to get in the middle of
there's
stuff
probably
if aliens
millions
are around.
Of kids in, you know, like Brazil, China, that have probably seen aliens.
Yeah.
And they just haven't contacted the proper police authority.
That's the thing, because kids don't really have, they don't think about other people a lot of times. So, just kids, keep kids away as much as you can from your life. That's kind of what I get from that.
Because aliens are attracted to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Terrifying.
Yeah, yeah. Arrival. This was one that just came out this last year, right?
Yeah, that one was really interesting.
Pretty good movie, yeah. And so what I took from that is basically aliens actually could just be nice and they want to teach us things.
Right.
But we're probably not going to let them, most likely.
We'll probably kill them.
Yeah.
Or try to, and then we will all die.
Yeah, exactly. So
you never know how it's going to pan out.
You don't. No, you don't. It's a crapshoot.
But it's a loop anyways.
It is.
It's just a big loophole. So we're just going to keep going back on history.
Man.
Anyway.
E.T., this is a famous movie by Steven Spielberg. One of the greatest movies ever made.
Yeah. I learned that aliens have glowy fingers.
Exactly. Big glowy sausage fingers.
Mm-hmm. And they can somehow be connected to a human life.
And so that's sort of what I got from that is you really need to be careful if you do encounter aliens and they seem to be nice and they seem to be, you know, not really trying to harm you. you could become emotionally and physically paired with that alien in some way. Sure. So you really kind of have to, you kind of have to weigh your options here. Is it worth it? Is it not? Because if he gets drunk, you know, you can be at work.
That's true.
Drunk.
And then your kids can be freaking flying around on their BMXs.
Yeah, I know.
And you don't need that.
And that alien could actually be in your house and you have no idea because your kids, you're hiding them in their closet. So you just got to be careful.
That pisses me off.
Yeah. Flight of the Navigator. Like we talked about, you could lose years of your life like that.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Space time, we don't, it's just, it blows your mind. Don't even try and
think
about it.
There's wormholes and stuff. Stuff that you guys wouldn't comprehend.
Yeah, exactly.
We won't even go into detail.
We're not even, I mean, I've got a bunch of stuff written down right here, but I'm kind of just thinking our audience can't handle it.
They're not ready for it. Maybe part deux.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe episode two on aliens.
Yeah. So the next one, a lot of people don't think of this as an alien movie, but it really is.
It is an alien movie.
Transformers.
Yeah.
Right?
So your car.
Yeah.
Or your Xbox.
Yep.
Any of that.
That's why I play PlayStation.
Right. There's no way that's Transformers.
There's no way.
Xbox, there's a good chance.
Yeah. It's much higher probability.
Pretty much all the semi-drivers on the highway are potential Autobots. But yes. Autobots are good, so that's fine.
That's fine, yeah.
But military equipment, you should be scared of.
Be leery of it. I mean, kind of keep your distance. If you're not in the military and you don't have to interact with that kind of stuff, just sort of keep your distance if you can. You know, really, the biggest thing I took away from that was, you know, just don't get mixed up in this sort of, you know, intergalactic politics type thing.
Yeah.
You know, because
let them have their own war.
Yeah. Don't kind of bring it here, you know. I mean, all spark, all that kind of junk. Just don't get.
Right.
Don't get in.
Don't try and, you know, absorb the power from it.
Exactly.
To use for human use. It's just not smart.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it in any way, shape, or form.
No.
The last one I put on here is kind of a classic from my childhood, Explorers.
Oh, yeah. It was
remember that one?
Mm-hmm. I do.
That
alien was cool.
Yeah, he was cool, alien.
And he was fascinated with Earth.
Yeah.
You know, he watched TV from Earth.
Yeah, and one thing about that is you don't know if the aliens you're meeting are, like, full-grown adult aliens or if they're just, like, little bratty aliens.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because he wasn't sure.
No.
You know?
He wasn't.
But
I had no idea.
Really, the only thing I got from that movie was kids can build spaceships.
Yep.
That's all I got.
I know. That's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't put any of the Star Treks in here.
I didn't, no.
Because Star Treks, you know, they come.
I just kind of felt like that is it's like putting Star Wars in there. Like, yeah, there's aliens.
It's a little unrealistic.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a little far-fetched.
Yeah. That's why I didn't put Star Wars
but
in there.
But I'm just saying. What?
That's why I didn't put Star Wars or Star Trek in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, both of them. Mm-hmm. But still, it makes you think.
It does make you think, yeah. I mean, obviously.
Like eventually, we might be able to explore strange new worlds.
Exactly.
And go where no man has gone before.
Exactly. So that's kind of the movie portion of the podcast. Right now, though, guys, I'd like to stop real quick and tell you about a brand new sponsor we have.
It's exciting.
Yeah, Cam and I are really excited to have these guys on. We just took out the Gotenna's this weekend to check them out, and man, were they really cool. So Gotenna Mesh powers the first 100% off-grid mobile long-range consumer-ready mesh network. That means you can relay texts and GPS locations from user to user via your mobile phone with no cell towers, routers, or satellites required. That is freaking awesome.
It really is.
Obviously, for preppers, this makes a whole lot of sense. Pair the device to your phone with the Gotenna app, so all you need is a little app, or leave it unpaired in strategic locations to relay communications from device to device. You can create pop-up mesh network anytime, anywhere, and your network won't go dark when the central cell infrastructure fails.
Which is very
when communications go down, the cell towers are going to be the first things.
Right.
You know, the cell network is either going to get overloaded or it's going to be gone, and you will have no way to...
Yeah, the overloaded is a guarantee.
Exactly, yeah. So let me tell you a little bit more about them. The devices are sold in pairs at a retail of $179 a pair, but there's no recurring or subscription fees. That's what's kind of cool.
Right.
You buy it once, you have it, you use it for life.
Right.
Really cool. The perfect off-grid tool, 24-hour battery life, weatherproof, compact, and light. And Cam's going to take those out for the guys watching on YouTube and kind of show you what they look like. They're just tiny little suckers.
They are, and they don't weigh anything.
No, they don't. GoTenna's super smart mesh protocol powers private one-to-one and group chats or public broadcasts to all nearby users with end-to-end encryption. So it's all encrypted. Free GoTenna app includes detailed offline maps for any region in the world. That's kind of one of my favorite things about this is you get these detailed offline maps that you can use anytime.
Yeah.
It's compatible with iOS or Android devices, sold in pairs, charging cables included. Guys, if you want to go to GoTenna.com, you can use our code CASUALPREP25. That's CASUALPREP25, and you're going to get $25 off your order. That's fantastic. Seriously. Go to GoTenna.com and use our code CASUALPREP25 for $25 off your order. We have a video that'll be coming out pretty soon on how we use these and how they worked. And
you need to check it out because they seem it sounds a little confusing of how they work, but really these could be a lifesaver for communicating with anybody.
Yeah. So what it uses, it actually uses UHF radio waves to transmit from each GoTenna. So you take one, your buddy takes one, and then you kind of, depending on the interference you have, and depending on how what your line of sight is, what did we say the range was? Anywhere from?
It's 3 miles in like open space.
In open space.
And 1 mile in more congested
areas.
Yeah. So like downtown city.
We could absolutely use it from our house to your house to my house, it'd be perfect.
Right.
You can drop pins in your location. It's really, really cool. Guys, go check them out. GoTenna.com. Use our code CASUALPREP25 for $25 off.
Really? Check them out.
Absolutely. So, now that we've kind of talked about, a lot of the stuff about aliens, what are we going to do and what should we prepare for and what should we do to survive an alien invasion, right, Cameron?
Yeah, it's very important to know how you're going to make it.
Exactly. So, I think the basics are always applicable. Like we said, food and water storage.
Always.
Always, 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 always. Food and water is the number one thing. Medical supplies, fire starting gear, all that kind of stuff that we always talk about is going to be important in any type of alien invasion. Ammo, guns. The stuff we always talk about. So one of the biggest things I think we should think about is power outages because alien technology could absolutely wipe out the grid. I mean, EMP-proof vehicles and Faraday cages, I think, are a must.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Because we don't know what kind of technology they have, and they probably understand that our entire world runs off of electricity. So they're going to figure that out. Yeah. They're smarter than we are.
They're way smarter.
Mm-hmm. A really good tip, I think, is to keep clear of population centers.
And this is something we always talk everything. About.
I mean, if you look at Independence Day, any of those.
Yeah, don't go up and we receive you, and
yeah, like, exactly.
Wave your banner on top of the building like a hippie.
It's a bad idea.
You're going to die.
Aliens always start with big cities, and that's a fact.
They do.
I mean, I'm not just blowing smoke here. That's
right,
a fact.
No, it's, yep. And if you live in Washington, D.C., you should get out.
Exactly.
They want to blow up the White House like immediately.
Do not live in Washington, D.C. Yep. Don't visit. Don't even think about it. Don't even look at pictures of it on the internet.
You don't want to trace it back to you.
Yeah, so here's a strategy that I've developed myself that I think when the time comes, it's going to be invaluable, Cameron.
I'm listening.
So most aliens rely on crop circles for navigation, for, there's just a whole host of things that they use crop circles for. So what I've done is I've honed my skills in actually making crop circles. So what I'm going to do when the time comes is make my own and confuse the shit out of them.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
Go out in your cornfield.
Exactly.
And you're going to see signs. What are you going to do?
Huh? I'm going to make my own crop circles.
Yeah, you're going to just...
That's what I'm going
to
do.
You're going to add to it and it's going to make no sense.
They're going to be like, oh, who the hell wrote that one? they're going to be up there like...
This shit's go left and right.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Where is town center?
Whatever, I'm going home. That's what they're going to say, right?
Or they're going to crash into each other.
Yeah.
That is a good idea.
Should I give him the whole... I don't know if we need to break down how to make crop circles, but...
Nah, probably not.
We probably don't need to, but maybe I can do it in a post on Facebook or something like that or on the website.
Yeah, sure.
So that's probably a good idea. We'll talk about the stock stompers.
Learn how to do it to confuse them. That's a super good idea.
Okay. The next thing I do in my alien preps is I always, always steer clear of desolate highways.
Right.
Long, desolate highways.
That makes sense in general.
It really does, yeah.
You know, if you break down, you're screwed, but you'll
yeah.
other reasons.
There's always, that's where the abductions almost always happen.
I know, it never happens on busy streets.
When the sightings always happen. So just steer clear of any sort of desolate highways.
Right.
National monuments.
So, yeah, have several bug out plans.
Exactly. National monuments, just steer, yeah. don't go.
They always go to those.
Yeah. The Mount Rushmore.
Boom.
Washington Monument. You know,
White House.
Yosemite, the White House. I mean, just stay away from them.
Yeah.
There's no reason to go there. Seriously.
I know.
That's, they're going to get blown up. There's going to be aliens, and it's just a bad idea.
Yeah, they know exactly yeah. where to go.
Okay, so this one seems obvious to me, but apparently people don't know this. If you do see a meteorite or a UFO crash,
Don't go check it out.
There's mm-mm. no reason to do that. You're probably either going to get some weird superpower that's just going to make you, you know, a hero slash, you know,
it's
like,
not worth it.
It's just not worth it. Just stay away.
Right.
You're either going to die or you're going to end
up
like
get
Superman.
Your skin pulled off, and then they're going to use you to get around and probably kill your family and stuff.
That's right. Yeah, I didn't really think about that. So I think gas masks. And hazmat suits are kind of a must, you know.
Yep.
You don't know what they have in store. You don't know what kind of crap they're going to spew into the air.
You don't. It could be just a huge, like, spore.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't
spread their babies.
Have a gas mask right. all the time. All right. the time. Really, your ultimate goal, if there is an alien invasion, should be acquiring their technology and using it against them.
Right. That's always the best plan.
That is the that
and
should be our plan.
Hopefully... Our government's already like captured some things
yeah,
and
exactly.
they're figuring it out.
Yeah, exactly.
They already have a plan.
And then, you know, obviously bunghole the mothership.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. I mean, really.
They need to just create a drone bungholer.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Just have one built to sustain under like whatever whatever fumes or fuel they burn.
Yeah.
Be able to just pierce it right in the butthole.
Really good idea. Really good idea. So that's kind of what I have.
That's good, man. Those are, like, extremely good tips. You know, in terms of, like, having weapons to fight these things, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, you haven't found a ray gun anywhere out in the fields or anything when you're, you know.
I haven't either.
And I don't, the Army surplus stores, they don't have any alien stuff.
I've been, like, looking on eBay a lot and checking, like, my Prime Amazon Prime account. I haven't found anything.
Yeah, it's out there.
Yeah.
You just, it gets bought up.
Yeah.
It gets bought up like super fast.
I can't find like a buy it now one on eBay. It's always like the bit and then the bidding war. And
I don't want a laser gun. I want a ray gun. So projectile weapons. They, you know, there's a lot of aliens that are, you know, their bodies are just like ours. They're just as susceptible to piercing, you know, bullets, knives, spears, harpoons.
Yeah.
Like
blow
anything,
darts.
Anything you can throw at them.
Yeah.
So, you know, those weapons are good in all scenarios. So it's still good to have guns.
Yeah, it's probably a good
idea. You know, a shotgun, a close range gun.
Yeah. See, I thought at one point, I'm like, really, these are going to be useless. I should just sell most of my guns because.
But you don't know that.
I don't. Yeah. So
you don't know that.
I'm on the fence, but I'm going to keep them.
There's still going to be. There's going to be rioters.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Alien invasions are going on in D.C. and at Mount Rushmore.
People are going to steal their Nikes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So while those are all getting terrorized, you know, people are going to be terrorizing towns just like they normally do because humans are dicks.
Yeah.
So weapons, you know, we don't know. So basically get a hold of the same weapons that you're normally getting right now.
Yeah.
Flamethrowers would be sweet.
Yeah, it would.
Because, you know, I don't know. It may piss them off.
Yeah.
If they got a force field and they can't see if a flame's coming
right at
them.
Yeah, that's right, smoke and, you know, all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Or you could burn all your stuff so they couldn't get it.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Another thing on weapons is nothing. Just try and avoid them altogether.
The last point I have is nothing.
Screw them. Yeah. Just get away from them.
Yeah. Okay.
So get into a bunker. And we talked about the bunkers earlier. You know, same thing is, you know, having, you know, a hidden place where you could store your goods. You know, maybe it's just your basement. Have it well sealed, you know, a way that they can't get in.
Yeah.
You know. They may be able to melt like a safe door off.
That's right. And but I always kind of thought it, you know, I try and keep most of my food under plastic because I feel like most aliens are going to have like super sense of smell,
right.
You know, or in sight. So I feel like if I have it under plastic, they won't be able to smell my food. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Okay. They probably don't even want your food.
I don't know though. You don't know that.
Yeah, true. The other thing I was thinking is having like really fine locking mechanisms because they usually have these freaking long fingers.
They do.
Like that's gonna.
Can you imagine ET trying to do like a master lock with a key?
There's
code?
No way.
There's no way.
So just little fine like locks and like hatches and latches. There's just no way they're gonna get into it.
Hatches and latches.
Yo yo
yo yo. Hatches and latches. Ain't got no aliens in here.
So just. Mm. You know, they're so smart, but frustrate them with the simplest stuff like that. I mean, they probably can't even unzip your bug out bag.
Yeah.
Because the big old fingers.
They're going to look so dumb, too. Like, they're going to feel stupid, and they might just go home.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So having stuff, I mean, if you have the money, like hand scans and like retina scan, they're not going to be able to get into that stuff. I'm being serious. So, another thing is... So, you know, say with your group, you know, one of you comes down with the flu, more power to you. I would put those people on the forefront.
The front lines.
Like, they're the ones that are going to watch the doors because they
come in. So, at this point, kids are probably good to have because those little bastards are always sick. You know what I mean?
That is the truth.
Just like, here, aliens, play with my children.
Yeah. Yep.
And then 10 minutes later.
Have the kids just run around your house.
10 minutes later, they're puking and they got snot all over their face. You know what I mean? Useless aliens.
Once the aliens figure out that kids are like the most dangerous, you just let them run around outside like normal, and they aren't even.
You just
mess
go to the school.
You.
So I think really schools are a great place to hang out.
Yep.
If an alien invasion happens,
right? And if you have a drinking fountain in your house, they're that's safe for you, and they're not going to piss with it.
No.
Or even like hunker down in a public restroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a truck stop.
Yeah.
There's no way they're not going to mess with you. Or Walmart. If you go to Walmart, they'll die before they even get to the back aisle.
I really have to think, though, that half the people that are at Walmart are aliens already. I believe it in my soul. So I don't know.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. I think I may have saw alien parking.
Yeah.
You know, like all the.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are the weapons, you know, fight with biological warfare.
Yeah.
Sneeze, puke, spit all over your door handles.
Mm, shart.
throw just throw your dirty underwear out on the lawn. They're going to get all kinds of diseases. Teenagers and gonorrhea and chlamydia.
Where the hell are you people listening to this? I don't even
know.
I feel
bad. I'm sure they're just done with this.
Well, guys, if you don't know how to survive an alien invasion at this point, I don't know what to tell you because it's about as good as it comes.
It does. I don't know if we couldn't express more how we could have saved you.
Yeah.
I mean, these things are key.
Exactly. So thank you. That's all we have.
Right.
But Cam would like to talk about survival boxes real quick.
I do want to talk about survival boxes. So we got one to review today.
We do.
But I just want to tell you guys, survival boxes are the only subscription box packed all with, oh my goodness, with all the essential survival supplies that you need for prepping to survive disasters or your next outdoor adventure, alien invasions even.
Mm.
There are three different boxes to choose from, so sign up today and start getting survival boxes delivered to your door every month. No contracts, cancel anytime. Use promo code CASUALPREPPERS for 10% off your first box on any monthly subscription at Survival Boxes. Seriously, go and check them out if you haven't. I hate you, but I love you. Keep downloading our podcast.
Exactly. Guys, these are the kind of cool things you get. What do we got here?
Right.
Noodle soup? 25-year shelf life?
Tell me how many of you watching or listening, have gone and bought this month. I doubt half of you.
Yeah, because it's just a pain in the ass.
So guess how we
you don't
remember.
Think about it. We have a subscription to Survival Boxes.
We do.
What do we got? Lasagna? What's that?
That's cheesy lasagna, not just lasagna.
Cheesy lasagna. What's this? Savory stroganoff.
Sounds savory.
What's this? These are the Wise Food Company ones.
What's that one?
25-year shelf life. Pasta, yes. Alfredo.
Mountain House breakfast skillet. Cam could take that one.
I don't know about the skillet. We haven't had that one. Looks good.
It's got eggs in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, but they're probably better with mixed with all the other stuff. All
right. What's this one? Rice and chicken Mountain House meal.
Delicious and healthy, nutritional.
Also, pepper seeds.
Grow your own freaking pepper.
And then we got some emergency food rations, 2,400 calorie food bar, good for 5 years. Throw it in your bug out bag. It's perfect.
Excellent for a car, too.
And your car,
throw it in your car.
Absolutely.
You'll just keep getting them.
So you just keep every single month you guys will get these.
It's easy to put in a cache. It's easy to put in your car. It's easy to put in a bug out bag. Store it at your church. Wherever you want.
Any place you want to put it. So go check out
you
survival
even
boxes.
You could bury it in this.
Yeah, you could. Really.
Like, I literally don't
think. It's vacuum sealed. So use our code CASUALPREPPERS at survivalboxes.com and just start. And they have gear boxes too, like we said. You
they
know?
Do, yeah. If
they
you
have
want
one
a little mix.
The mix is perfect, I think.
You get some food. You get some sweet gear.
You get gear.
And their gear's sweet.
Happy. Yeah, really sweet. So anyways, the next thing we have to review, we actually just put out a video of this today as well. Is the Vessel, and we have been talking about this for actually over a year.
We have
featured this in our Christmas episode last year, and this is the Vessel Supplies. It's a really cool, it just looks cool for one thing.
It feels cool, and it looks cool.
It is cool. So it's aluminum, it's like an aluminum tube. You know, people watching on YouTube can see this, but it's also a flashlight. Flashlight.
And it is a bright sucker. I shined it right in my eyeball.
Yeah, take that, YouTube.
It's got like different settings. Yeah, SOS.
It's what did we say the lumens was? Only like 100 lumens.
It's or
but
200
it's freaking
lumens.
Or 200
One
or something.
200, but it's super bright.
Yeah,
and you got a compass on the bottom.
Yeah, you got a compass on the bottom. So you open it up. It screws off the top or the bottom. I don't know which way is which.
So these are watertight, weatherproof. And this one is, did you already say that?
This is the supplies one. So this is the biggest version, or not the biggest, it's about the same size, but it has the most stuff.
Yeah.
So it comes with a beeswax candle. It's like a 40 or 60 hour candle. What's the next one?
Fishing.
So these are, open it up, show them. Each one of these, it's like a little metal.
Like all these supplies in it, which is, I mean, you've got fish hooks, you got fish line, you have spinners, sinkers.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of little metal containers
like it
inside.
It seems really, I mean, and these don't weigh anything.
Yeah.
Like teeny tiny. Teeny tiny.
Teeny tiny.
And I mean, you could replace whatever you want instead inside these little containers.
Most of them are actually pretty good, though.
What's right here is trail markers and a whistle. So if you get lost in the wilderness, you know, you kind of, you know, Hansel and Gretel mark your way. Pretty cool. This one, fire starter and a mirror.
Yep, so
there's
a mirror on the back
survival
side.
Survival supply.
Yep.
And then, is that on the back side?
It's on the back side of it.
I wondered about that. And then this one, we got a wire saw. So you can cut down a sequoia.
Yeah.
Redwood. Take you a couple hours.
Redwood. Sure.
And then, I mean, look at how many of these are coming out of this.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's still going.
I just keep on
them
out.
Smooth go tennis around.
Can opener and water purification.
Yep.
So. And, you know, you've got the tube that's sealed, and you've got these that are sealed. I mean, it's an awesome way to keep all of your stuff organized.
Yeah. There's more. We're not done here.
We got a rope and a razor blade.
Mm-hmm.
So you can cut some rope with a razor blade.
You sure can.
You know, you don't know. You can tie your tent up or whatever you want.
Yeah. Tie your girlfriend up.
And then the last one in there is a little first aid mini medical kit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's the biggest one.
Yeah. So it's got, you know, it's got tape in there. It's got some meds. It's got some ointment, alcohol. I mean,
it's just a fantastic
a in one
little self-contained survival kit with a flashlight. I mean, it's just kind of a cool, and it just looks awesome.
And we said this last 40 hours charged.
Yep, 40 hours on the battery. This thing will cost you $99.50, and they have several different types. They have a whole bunch of different
if you have
versions.
Your own little things, you can just get a tube.
Yeah, it has one. They have a zombie one. It basically, you open it up, it's a big old spike to kill zombies with, which is kind of cool. They have a shelter one that has a tent in it. They have a flask for carrying around your booze. And they have a whole bunch of different kinds. So you got to go check them out at vesselgear.com.
I mean, look at, I mean, that sucker, you could freaking clock somebody with that. Man. It's a good weapon.
So it's Vessel, V-S-S-L, gear.com. You can go check out our video on YouTube. There's a link right in to go buy it from there. So it's kind of a cool deal. Kind
yeah,
of
it's
cool
an
deal,
awesome
man.
Deal. I'm actually going to give this, or I'm gonna give the idea to my dad because he's always looking to buy all of us boys in the family like a cool survival tool.
Yeah.
And they have so many options, and they're really affordable, and I think they're an awesome stocking stuffer, you know?
Boom! Absolutely. Check them out.
It's time for the quick and dirty medical tip.
So these tips are really pretty quick, and they're dirty.
Yes, sir.
Because?
Talking about alien
tippies. So we've talked about like some of the dangers with getting, you know, taken by an alien and the things that they might do to you.
Mm.
So just real quick, you know, just real basic stuff on anal probe aftercare.
Yeah, this is important.
So, you know, they're not going to be that gentle. They may do it dry, so you're going to have a chafed butthole.
Yeah,
or a torn butthole.
Yeah, that's the best. That's what scares me.
Sounds freaking horrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, the basics of that, you know, when we see, I haven't seen any anal tears or probe injuries in the clinic, but
that
a lot of times
me.
Like fissures, you know, tears, small tears, they typically don't need to be sewn.
Yeah.
Sometimes if they're big, they do. And so if you're bleeding a lot or it's painful, bloody bowel movement, you probably get to get that checked out. I know it's traumatizing, but you really should have it looked at again. But yeah, you know, you can just kind of, you care for it like a chapped lip, you know, put some ointment on there.
Yeah.
You want to keep it clean. Wipe your butt real good, but don't get aggressive.
Yeah.
Maybe baby wipe, something that's a little bit softer on the butthole.
Maybe baby wipe.
Another thing, I mean, this one's more complicated. If you had like an alien baby injected into you and it burst out of your belly.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Like, you know, if the abdominal aorta does not get ruptured.
Oh, gosh.
Then, you know, you got to put a lot of pressure on there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to help them not bleed out. The problem is, you know, they burst through the stomach and a hole through the stomach unless it gets sewn up quick and all that content getting out into the abdominal, you know, cavity.
Well, you're already dealing with the baby alien for one.
Yeah, that thing's running. I mean, just let it go.
So just
like don't try and kill it because you got to save the person ripped out of.
So your first thing is
you know, care for that person.
Okay.
And hopefully the alien doesn't get you.
Because that's my natural instinct is to go towards the, you know, figure out.
You
want to
take care of that thing or figure it. Yeah, no. Yeah. This person's going to bleed out fast. And a lot of the times, I mean, I'm sure the survival rate on this is like 5% or less.
No, that seems high.
Right.
That seems high. I'll bet it's lower than that.
Maybe 1%.
Yeah.
Other thing, you know, laser burn. So laser gets shot in your eyeball depending on the strength of it. I mean, you're probably going to be blind because the aliens, they don't know what level. They just were going to fry your brain probably.
Yeah.
So if you happen to survive, you know, you got to care for the burn as if it were a regular sunburn, you know. It's the same. A lot of the area gets burned. You know, you want to keep the person hydrated. You want to keep the area sterile and clean and changing bandages frequently. And
so, like,
removing
aloe,
the dead tissue.
Is aloe good?
Aloe is good, yeah. Mm-hmm. If it's not a real severe burn, you know, like third degree.
Like the little, you know, the little 3 foot guys. Or
right,
whatever.
Right. So basically just review burn, you know, aftercare. You know, we've talked about it before in other podcasts. And then last is, you know, depression and psychological care. Because, I mean, seeing these things and witnessing bursting out of other people and, you know, people getting vaporized, you know, your new car getting, you know, tractor beamed up, maybe dropped on another house or something.
Can't even imagine.
There's support groups even now.
Oh, is
like
there?
There's some already set up.
Mm.
So within your group, you know, maybe try and get these people, keep their mind off from, you know.
Well, that's where I think, like, you know, having candy and having games and having those types of things that, like, you know, because when that happens, it's hard for somebody to move on, to move past it.
That's why you want, you know, you want those sweet things. You want maybe make a pizza together and get your mind off stuff. It's good medicine. Anyway,
oh,
so that's
fantastic.
Kind of the
guys. Thank you.
Kind of the quick medical. There's a couple things. I mean, you're going to be dealing with a lot.
Yeah.
So
thanks for
sticking through it.
If you've stayed the entire episode, I applaud you.
Yeah. I kind of feel bad that we had good review stuff.
Yeah, we
in
did.
This retarded episode. No, but hopefully you guys had fun.
I think once in a while you just got to have a lot of fun. We usually have fun, but this one was just like a lot of fun. So
right.
Thanks for sticking around, guys. Make sure to come see us at casualpreppers.com. Make sure to go subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're putting a lot more stuff up there.
We've gotten some good ones. You should check out the pumpkin hunt.
Yeah, we just went and hunted some pumpkins.
Pumpkin hunt.
Yeah, so go check that
out. That was way fun. Bug out vehicle.
You get to see the new bug out vehicle. Yeah. We have a new Casual Preppers member.
We do.
So you can go check that out. We'll have some more stuff on that soon.
Right.
Some more videos and whatnot. So thanks, guys.
Have a good Halloween.
Yes, sir. See you later.